Remelations. We're your hosts. I'm Mindy.
And I'm Brooke.
Remelations is a dream interpretation podcast where we read listeners' dreams. From nightmares to the just plain bizarre, join us as we give you our comedic interpretation of your fucked up REM cycle. We're kicking off with a dream from Elena today that has to do with car accidents, morphing dogs, and seed packets.
We've also got some amazing catnaps this week about grandma burgers. Oh, showing up to an award show with the same dress. Nightmare. That's a nightmare if you ask me.
Nightmare.
Nature growing in a drain pipe and bears and canoes. Scary stuff. But you're going to want to stick around because I'm also talking about three of the most major accidents caused by sleep deprivation.
And if there's anything we learned, it's don't go to work tired. And bestie, let's get started.
Woo!
It's early for us.
It is
like before noon.
It is morning. That's legit morning time.
It's not stopping me from cracking open a White Claw. I'm going to be honest
with you. God bless. And if we're being honest, Brooke had to order a box of wine from DoorDash to make it through. It has not yet arrived.
Yes.
We are on our second part.
DoorDash adventure.
Second box of wine adventure from the show. We have to do it once a year.
Yes. Once every month.
Once every month. Go back and listen to the episode, bestie, if you haven't. It's pretty fun. Hopefully this one will be less dramatic and faster.
Speaking of faster, you're getting new faster internet, so that's exciting.
I'm so happy, Mindy. It's mostly you. It's mostly a gift for you.
I know, because it's going to make recording way, way easier, and we won't be so lagged, and your face won't be half blurry when I see it every time. Yeah, it looks good like that.
It's pretty good. Yes, well, I'm trying, Mindy. Okay. I'm trying. I'm having a little trouble with the setup, but I'm going to plug on through.
You're going to get through it.
It should be
good to go. Lightning fast. It's like Brooke's like in your home.
Yes, I'll be like, hi. Would you like me to record
for you?
You
ready for your podcast?
Are you ready for
All right. Well, we're ready for this podcast, and this podcast is ready for your ears. And we're going to start with Elena from Georgia. Okay, Brooke, this one, it's you're not going to like it. I'm just giving you a warning. And always, as always, besties, check your content warnings in the show notes, but we're going to get through this because I think it's an interesting dream.
Okay.
Elena writes, confusing, help, weirdest dream. Okay, this is a wild ride, so any help you can provide is appreciated.
Okay.
Laugh, crying emoji.
Oh, well, we can feel you, girl.
So it started with me in bed waking up and my son walking in and I'm like, happy birthday. And I give him a big hug. Then we are in the car driving somewhere to meet my husband, and it's me and the kids in the car. Out of nowhere, this small black SUV, maybe a Honda or a Hyundai, with Cali plates, slams on their brakes, and I hit them because I don't have time to stop.
Uh-oh.
That's never a good day. That's never a good day.
Any kind of traffic incident is never a good day.
Bad day.
Very specific, though. Cali plates.
Right. I thought the same thing.
She'd be good at being like an eyewitness, you know, like things that you notice, those little details.
I couldn't tell you the difference between a Honda and a Hyundai. No. I'm like, it was a car. It was black.
They
and I
have an H. They're kind of similar.
I start panicking because I've never been in an accident before. So I tell the kids to stay in the car and I hop out to talk to the people. I walk around and the lady is like, oh my God, I hit my dog.
Oh,
I know. I told you this is going to be a little tough, but it's interesting dream. So we're going to get past this. Okay. And in the road is this big blackish Irish wolfhound bleeding out in the street. And I'm like, oh, how did you hit your own dog? Right? That's weird. Like,
yeah.
And then suddenly, her other dogs jump out of her car with their tail between their legs and jump into my car. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, so why was one dog out of her car and the rest were in her car?
Maybe she's got four one dogs. One of them jumped out the window. Mm. Do you know? Okay, another side note. I had a supervisor once who had like boxers, you know, mm-hmm. and they would go in the car with her everywhere. And yeah. like big any dog loved to have their head out the window.
Yes.
One of them jumped out on Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, that's not the place to jump out.
No. But. And she's like, oh, no. I was just screaming trying to find a place to stop. And I'm like, that's a nightmare. That she got him. He was okay. But that's a horrifying. Miracle.
That is a miracle. That is a miracle. That's why I don't. Like Kingston loves his head out the window.
Yeah.
Like he'll paw at the window until it's rolled down. You'll hear his like nails like clink, 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 roll it down. And I only roll it down so much because I'm afraid of that.
Yes.
Like
yes.
enough for his head, that's it.
My cat Kofi, when he would sit on my lap when we'd be driving, like when I would be going to visit my parents, he would press on the window button.
Smart.
And
parents.
And sometimes it would be like the back window, and I'd freak out, and I'd have to right. child lock. I know you're just cats, but child lock.
Yes, cat lock. All right. Okay. So the other dogs run into her car. When I look back at the dog in the street, it's morphed into a man wearing black jeans and a black hoodie pulled up, and a black leather jacket, still laying there bleeding out, and his eyes were glowing.
Is this like a full moon werewolf situation?
As soon as your dog gets hit, it turns into a person?
Yep. That's usually what happens.
And then he lifts his head and his arm reaches out for me. And then I see his soul leave his body.
Oh my God.
It starts swirling around this woman's hands and then goes up into the sky. I am like crying, saying, look at his soul. And then the woman tells me I need to take over for her because she can't go on. I had no clue what she was talking about. She then hands me some pamphlets and a package.
What?
I don't know. I don't know where to find out, I think. When I get home, I open it and it's got writing inside talking about her dog, Sage. Like Sage is the name. And how he was a good dog. And then in the package is a bunch of seeds. And I'm supposed to plant them. And I realized, wait a minute. How did she have this written already? She set the whole thing up. And then I woke
up. Oh, no. What were the seeds for?
For the record, she just finished up here. For the record, I don't take any melatonin or any other sleep aids. I didn't smoke, LOL. And it is extremely vivid. I'm also not pregnant because I know pregnancy can cause crazy dreams. This seemed to have so many different meanings layered. And that's from Elena.
Wow.
See, it is. I told you weren't going to like it, but it is a dream I had to read because it's very interesting.
I'm glad you warned me, but I made it through. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Okay, good.
There have been some worse.
There have been some worse.
Let's dive in.
So it starts off pretty normal, like most dreams do. It's her kid's birthday. It's like, yay, happy birthday. We're going to go meet your dad. We're going to have a fun family outing, perhaps. And then this car accident happens. Oh, this car
bummer.
Accident.
Bummer.
But you mentioned while I was reading it that it was very specific, the mm-hmm. type of car, the color, and the California plates. Now, I'm not taking too much into this California plates, but I do wonder if she knows anyone from California, if there's some sort of premonition tie there. Like, what's her tie to California? I'm just curious.
That was just such a specific detail.
Yeah.
Unless it was like, you know how I feel like every rental car I see has a California or an Arizona license plate?
Oh, I see a lot of Georgias.
Oh, do you see a lot of Georgias? But like, maybe it was just a rental car. I don't know.
Oh, it could have been. Oh, and then you have to deal with that insurance?
Poor thing. Oh, Lord.
But she specifically mentions that she's never been in a car accident before. So to dream of something you've never experienced, I think, is always unique.
Right.
How many accidents have you been in your life?
Oh, geez. Okay, let's count them. One, I rear-ended someone when I was a teenager, and it was just, you know, like a stupid accident at a stoplight. Of course, I was crying. I know that sounds stupid, but I slammed my fingers in the car door when I got in the car. And this was the P-Wagon, Mindy, just so you know. This was the P-Wagon.
The P-Wagon.
And so I was just kind of like holding my hand, shaking it, and I was crying. I came to a stoplight, and I just like kind of tapped
the guy. You cried more. Yeah.
I had another minor fender bender with another car, but that was not a big deal. My big one, though, was when I got hit by a truck in an ice storm, and my car was demolished, and I walked away without a scratch somehow.
Well, what about when you had your seizure? Wasn't that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one. The one that you just kind of, like, went off the road with your seizure.
Yeah, yeah, that one happened, too.
Yeah,
that's kind of an interesting one. I was driving to get medication, and luckily I was just in the turn lane, so I wasn't going very fast, but I had a seizure and, you know, blacked out behind the wheel of a moving vehicle, and luckily it just kind of slowly kept going, but it did crash into another car, but I was not conscious for that. Whoops.
So it's not scary if you're not
no
conscious.
I don't remember at all, you know. The only bad part is the excruciating pain for the next 6 months that almost made me want to swallow all my pain medication
at one time.
it was so bad. But how about you? I mean, you had a pretty serious one where you got burnt by your airbag.
Yeah, that was recent. I would say the first one I ever had, I was in my mom's car. I was probably like we knew each other. I was like a freshman in high school, maybe.
Maybe. Was I there?
No, you weren't there, but Amanda was.
Oh, remember okay.
Her? Anyhow, my mom went to drop her off after school and got T-boned. Nothing. All I remember was like those gummy peachy rings flying around the car.
No.
Yeah, not the peachy rings. I know.
That's
so
devastating.
I was so concerned. But no, nothing big. And because she had like one of those old cars that was just pure metal.
Yeah.
Like a boat. So we were fine.
Was that the Crown Vic or what was it? A Caddy?
That was like a Pontiac. Like a big old Pontiac. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And then when I was a freshman in college, did, you know, the rear ending someone turning. Like I thought they were in continue with the turn and they stopped halfway through it and I looked to the left and yeah, got them. And then that girl was a bitch. she's like, the car's 3 days old. I'm like, well, not like I meant to do it. I was crying.
I would be crying too. I'd be crying
such
too.
Such a Karen. Then I got rear ended on the way to the kids' soccer game. That was a fun one. That was just recent, but not as recent as the one where I got burned where some woman turned in front of me. Yeah, some woman turned in front of me and I T-boned her, but she didn't have the right of way.
Yeah.
So, that burned my hand and had like, I have scars on my hand from that one. Like, airbags are dangerous, kind of.
They are dangerous. And like I think we've talked about, I've always wondered what happens if you have glasses or sunglasses on.
Oh, yes.
Like,
it's gotta be
don't
dangerous.
Don't they just shatter? I don't.
You'd think. I don't know. But anyhow. Well, now that we walked down that scary road, that we drove our car off into the ditch. Car accidents, we've talked about them before, can mean you feel like something's out of control. It was obviously unexpected for her.
Yeah. Well, but not unexpected for the woman.
I know, right? Being that she was the one who rear-ended someone, I take it a little bit differently than an accident happening to you unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. Being that when you rear-end someone, it's you that's not paying attention. You're not paying attention to something. So what is she not paying attention to?
It has to be something big. It's coming barreling at her.
Yes.
And she better figure it out soon before that comes to fruition.
Exactly. And she was caught off guard. She was surprised by the events that were unfolding. Then we get into the dog, Sage. I like the name Sage for a dog,
like
by the way.
Sage.
I love it.
And Mindy, are you going to get a new dog?
Oh, no. And one's enough. We're a one dog. That's enough stress family. But we love him.
I do too.
She was very specific in saying that he was a big black dog. And those are big dogs. And let's think about dogs. And we think of dogs, we think of loyalty and comfort and reliability in that companion with you. But what happens to the dog also brings the feelings of sadness and grief and loss because the dog is injured. And so is there something that she's feeling a loss of loyalty to? Some overall sadness and something that maybe she felt a connection to someone and she's grieving the loss of perhaps a friendship or a relationship?
black dog, there is some symbolism to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a folklore behind black dogs.
In dreams?
In general. Oh, like, okay. It's almost like an urban legend type of thing. Mm-hmm. There's even a movie, but... So, in folklore, and this can be taken throughout the world like most folk stories are, but the black dog is a supernatural, spectral, or demonic hellhound that has also been seen throughout Europe and the Americas. It's usually unnaturally large with glowing red or yellow eyes.
That's interesting.
It's often connected with the devil and sometimes an omen of death.
Oh, Brooke, I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting you said glowing eyes because this dog does morph into a human, the one thing she does mention is the eyes were glowing. So that is crazy to me.
It is crazy.
But before we get into the morphing, the one thing she mentioned is there was three more dogs that hopped into her car.
Yeah, and is Elena to take care of these dogs now?
Now this is Rosemary and Cilantro and...
Time.
So, you know, the woman's got a theme here. But
isn't
I think
that Simon and Garfunkel
yes,
song?
It is.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Well, I call them cilantro. I think that one's a little spicy. I see that one being a chihuahua.
Oh, that is a chihuahua.
I would, Bestie, do you have a dog that's a chihuahua named Cilantro? I want to know about it. And if not,
send some videos, please. And think about changing the name.
Yeah, think about changing the name or for a future pet, perhaps.
Yes, I like it.
The dogs, she mentioned specifically that they had their tail between their legs and they sought shelter in her car. So I feel like she's a safe place for some chaos that's going on.
Yeah.
And the dogs sense that. I mean, we know dogs have super sensitive to human emotion.
Well, they're super sensitive. They are pack animals, too. So if their leader, which I'm guessing is the biggest, which sometimes tends to be the case, has just, I don't know how to describe it, morphed and died. I know. Maybe they're like, our alpha's gone.
Wait, yeah.
We don't know what to do, so we're just going to go to the next thing. The first thing we can get to.
Yeah. Let's talk about this morphing a bit. So it moves from a black dog into a human that has a black clothes on. So what is this morphing? I almost feel like it's a deception. Something in Elena's life is deceiving her. Something's not as it seems. And if we get into the loyalty and back to the idea of relationships, is there a relationship where someone's being deceptive to her?
I agree with you. I feel like there is something going on with her, maybe in a relationship. And it's coming across as maybe problematic or she's struggling with some things. And it was easier for her to deal with it in dog form because maybe she just loves dogs. And then all of a sudden it morphs into showing what is really the problem.
Yeah.
And maybe it's that dude.
Something is not lining up for me in Elena's life. Something, she's being deceived in some way. I really do feel this. Because later it comes into play when... The woman, she's like, she knew about it all along. So, like, is someone seeing the signs that she's not seeing?
Right.
When you're in a relationship, you sometimes tend to stuff out red flags because you make excuses for them. So is there something that she's, it's
ding,
there?
Ding, ding.
It's,
I've done that.
Right? Me too. Is there something that's very obvious that she's just kind of like, you know, she's the loyal person, going back to that loyalty of the dogs. Is she that loyal person that's like, you know, oh, no, it's, you know, I'm going to stick by my person. I'm gonna get through this. But something isn't adding up for me. And when we get to that soul leaving that morphed body, that can mean a transformation in life. So is it once that she realizes that mask is off, whatever's deceiving her, once she calls it out, is that when that release of the soul, like
it
that release
like
of whatever it is, let's go. And she needs to call out that deception before she can move beyond it.
I'm sure you're going to get into it, but I'm just still so confused about the seeds and the instructions and, okay.
Almost like it was a biography of the dog. Here's Sage. He loves putting his head out the window.
Sage loves green balls and his lovey, fluffy toy blankie.
And his brothers, Cilantro, Rosemary, and Thyme. So yeah, let's get to talk to about that packet and that package. The pamphlet. The pamphlet and the package. Is it that once she saw it written in form, whatever these facts were, like, again, it's going back to like really sniffing out the facts of this person, I feel sniffing like is out. Deceiving her. It's here's everything that you need to know. It's a pamphlet. That's what pamphlets are. It's informational. It's informational information for your brain.
It's a pamphlet. It's very small and condensed
and concise.
Give you all the information you need. The only thing smaller is a leaflet, which is just a single sheet of paper.
Oh my God, Brooke! I never knew you were going to school us today on the difference between pamphlets and leaflets. I appreciate it though. What about a brochure? Where does that fit in?
Brochure is kind of like a pamphlet, you know, because it's usually tri-folded. Brittany and I know our office supplies and our goods.
We do. So when it was written and put in front of her in plain text, is that when she's like, oh, I see it now. I'm seeing the signs. I'm seeing the facts. And then we get to the seeds. And I know this is something, and I'm curious of what your thoughts are on the seeds. I see it as like a new beginning.
Yeah,
like
growth.
Once she saw the facts in front of her, once she kind of let that soul go, that's when she can start her new beginning.
I'm
just
sorry,
plant
can
the
I
seeds.
Just,
yeah.
Just because you said let that soul go, and Mindy, mm-hmm. are you familiar with Coming to America, the
yes.
movie?
Yes, of course. Eddie Murphy.
Remember the hair products?
Oh my God.
Are we doing hashtag?
We have to do Eddie Murphy.
Okay. Hashtag
what does Eddie Murphy
dream?
Donkey.
But you know hey, Mindy, you know who's in it? And the person with Soul Glow is Eric LaSalle.
Oh, from ER. We tied ER.
From ER.
Really?
But he's got the Soul Glow in his hair.
Yes, the hair.
Just let your soul glow.
The Soul Glow.
So when you said go...
You thought soul go. Okay, I was wondering how this train of thought was getting to where it is.
Yes, I heard
makes
soul
less sense.
Go, and in my head I heard soul glow. And don't quote me on that, but I LaSalle. Think it is Eric LaSalle. I'm pretty sure.
I believe you. I believe you.
That's a long time
okay.
ago.
Whew. But back to the seeds. You know, just the new beginnings. Once she realizes what's in front of her, the deception that's happening in her life, or someone that's not being truthful with her, that's kind of the next step. And we don't know where the next step goes. She has these seeds, and it's kind of up to her. Like, choose your own adventure. What's next?
I think I'd have to agree with you on the seeds, because it's so out there. With the instructions, it's almost like this woman is leaving her, letting her know, you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You have something to... You have instructions... And you have new growth. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like she was, I mean, symbolically.
Well, she did say she set her up. I mean, did she set her up to move beyond this
Maybe
thing?
It was actually a guardian angel that mm-hmm. did all of this. So this is you're right, Mindy. It was a very fascinating dream.
I loved it.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Elena.
Thanks, Elena, for sharing. Yes, yes. Oh, I loved that one. I want to know. Elena, how do we do?
Bestie. Guess what time it is? We are approaching our 130th.
How was this
episode? Sorry,
I know. I was like, I just interrupted. I was like, waiting.
Like, wait. It's unbelievable, you guys.
I can't believe it. I really can't believe it's been 130.
Well, you know, Mindy and I are always up for some good naughty fun, so we're coming up on our dirty 130,
yes.
And we're calling all besties to submit your naughty dreams, your dirty
dirty
dream stories.
It can be anonymous. You don't
anonymous
want
is
put your
fine.
Name on it. Yep.
But yeah, start dreaming, start getting sexy, people, and if you have dreams from your past, send them in again. Anonymous is totally fine, but we have about a week to submit those dirty 130 dreams, and we can't wait to share them with everybody. So just go ahead and go to revelations.com, and you can submit your dreams or your dream naughty stories there.
All right. Bestie, now it is time for catnaps. Catnaps is where we read a bunch of your dreams real quick. We don't get into any analysis of the dreams. We just get through as many as possible. Dreams, dream stories, one sentence, whatever you want to send in, and we're going to get a bunch of you on the show. Brooke, are you ready to kick this off?
I am. And I want to start with just a very like little baby one.
Yes.
It's only one sentence, but it made me laugh out loud.
So I love the one sentence.
Share a giggle with the besties out there and you, Mindy. Mm-hmm. This is Trish, and she's from Fort Lauderdale. I was in the middle of the ocean on a canoe, and there was a bear swimming next to the boat. That's it. That's the dream. But, like, wouldn't you be alarmed? Like, you might see, like, a dolphin or even maybe a shark, but a bear?
I'm more concerned that the fact that I'm in a canoe on the ocean, that does not seem
well, maybe it's seaworthy like a to kayak. Me. I don't know, but it seems like a canoe, which is... And bears are not saltwater creatures. I don't think they would
They'd be like
out.
Me when you get like a mouth of salt, of ocean water, and you're like, it's salty.
And I'd like to know what kind of bear it was. Except for, I guess, polar bears go in the ocean.
That's true.
So maybe it was a polar bear.
That's true. It's just a polar bear on vacation, if you will. He wants
yeah,
to go
I mean, can they take vacations too? I mean, their habitat is shrinking.
And
let them explore.
They want to go to the beach.
They want to go to the beach.
Keep your icebergs. Give us the beach.
Keep your icebergs.
Next, we have Jen from Montgomery, Alabama.
Ooh.
I had one of the most disturbing dreams the other night, where I found myself with my husband in a hospital, just because we had nowhere else to park our car. Aside, yeah. anywhere else, like everything else was taken except for a hospital.
There's like a TV show. Sorry, I know we're like, this episode, Mindy's going to be a nightmare for you. There is an episode of a TV show that I watch where this guy joined a church just because it had free parking.
Oh,
a place
yes.
in like downtown Chicago.
I 100% agree.
And he was like, couldn't find parking. And they're like, come in, my son. And he joined just so he had parking always.
Oh, I love it. And I could see someone doing that.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Parking's expensive. Okay, so we're at a hospital parking lot. Mm-hmm. In the entrance of the hospital was a pile of burgers and pizzas.
Waste.
Looking like a local commercial brand. And my husband stole one of the burgers, and we ate it in half.
Okay.
I felt a bit ashamed that he stole it, but I ate it either way.
And it was on a pile of food? Did you know how long it was sitting out for?
I mean... It could. Are you in the back of the hospital? Is this the garbage? Is this the trash can?
Like, are you sure this is food or is this garbage? Mm. Although I would take a pizza any day of the week and run out the door with it because pizza's
I'm good.
With,
oh, burgers
pizza's
or
good.
Pizza? Mm. Yeah, I'm good.
It, if they're fresh burgers, no. But you know the pizza's not going to be fresh, so I'm taking a pizza.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good point. Yeah,
pizzas excellent. Are almost like
they can
cockroaches.
Be cold.
They can survive almost anything.
After a while, a man who was making these burgers came up to us and asked if we had stolen one of those.
Uh-oh.
My husband said no, and then he told us that the burger that was stolen was made from a grandma's meat who was just staying at the hospital.
What? Wait, and grandma? Wait, grandma's meat?
It's a grandma burger, Brooke. It's a grandma burger.
Okay, grandma is people. The burger is people.
Human burgers, yep. Mm-hmm.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Ooh, I know.
Sneaky thief.
It was made from grandma's meat who was staying in the hospital, and he was wishing to give them to her loved ones so they felt closer to her.
You know,
that's really close. Like that, my tummy, I don't know how much closer you can get.
That's a very serial killer thing to do.
Mm.
You know, cannibals and like people like Jeffrey Dahmer would eat their victims. To make them feel part of them and stuff.
I kind of feel like Jen's husband was asking for it by stealing it.
Why? How much is he? This cook just cooking grandma burgers and throwing one on a pile, cooking a burger, throwing it on the pile.
You know how that's a lot of meat. How big was grandma? I mean,
yeah, was grandma
most
a big
grandma's
gal?
little frail, but you know, grandma was a big gal.
Was there any meat on these?
Must have been. But you know how like they have sometimes in front of like grocery stores, they have like the little girls where they're making hot dogs or.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see the same setup just outside of a hospital. $3.
It's a deal. It's the Monday deal. You want grandma burger with cheese or without?
Oh, God.
He's flipping.
Onions?
Onions.
I think it'll help it go down a little bit better. Mask some of the human meat taste.
Oh, it tastes like chicken.
My husband vomited right after finding out.
Good for sure. You, dude. I think that was his conscious vomiting.
Yes. Oh, a conscious vomit. I was just standing there in shock and disgust. Then the police came over to deal with the incident of the burger theft. The cops are like, oh, we don't care that you're frying up grandma. We're more concerned that Jen's husband stole
one burger and split it.
I'm so glad they didn't have two burgers because, oh my God, that would really make you vomit.
They'd be in jail for the rest of their lives for that.
Oh, not good. When the police came up to us, we panicked and tried to escape. And then I woke up. I still have no clue what that dream meant. And I'm guessing that maybe I have some shame with my husband's choices and I feel they are affecting me.
Oh, but I think she's nailed it right on the head. Right? She didn't need us at all.
But the dream was way more disturbing while I was in a very loving relationship. It might be the most disturbing dream I've ever seen. Jen.
I agree. I think it's quite disturbing.
It's a good one, though. I mean, really, there is a lot to think about there.
But, like, if you're going to bring attention to something, make yourself eat human flesh, and that's a real wake-up call.
Yes. I mean, are we talking, like, slices, or is it ground like a burger?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's ground.
Very curious.
Like a burger,
ground,
but I
grandma?
Don't know, like, I don't know what part of the body that would come from. I'm not a butcher, people. I don't know
the best cuts of human.
I don't even know best cuts of cows or pigs. I just don't. I don't know like where it would come from.
I'm good. Let's move on. Moving on.
Yeah. Let's see what I got here. This is Joey from Minneapolis. I was in a hotel about 5 years younger than I am now in my dream. I was coming back to our room with my father and brother, and a bunch of random people I didn't know were following us and trying to talk to us. Then we realized there was people in sheep costumes. We're having a lot of costumes lately, Mindy.
Yeah.
People in sheep costumes sitting next to every door. We were confused, of course.
Yep.
And went into our room. My mother was sitting on the couch and reading a book, and my father asked her if dinner was ready because she was cooking when we left the room. She said,
"Grandma,
no.
Grandma burgers? Is she cooking Grandma burgers?"
She was cooking Grandma burgers.
Yes,
for
medium,
sure.
Medium rare.
rare. Sorry, it's gross.
It's gross. I like my grandma meat well done, personally.
I'd like my grandma meat not on my plate.
Oh my God, I was just thinking grandpa meat, and then it took on a whole new meaning.
Oh,
I like
Mindy,
my grandpa meat.
We're not getting into that today.
That's next week. That's next week.
Next
at the 1:30.
Week.
Yeah. Dirty 1:30. Grandpa meat.
Grandpa meat. Okay. She said no, because we came home too late, so she ate our dinners. All
Fair.
Of them.
Fair enough.
My brother and I were even more confused and asked her if she had seen the sheep people things. She said, "I have," and laughed. It wasn't funny to me, so that made me angry.
Yeah.
I went and got a snack and then went to bed. I woke up after I laid down in the bed. Pause. There's an after.
Okay.
There's an afterthought.
Real quick, before you get into that, do you think in order to fall asleep, he was counting those sheep people? Just like walking by his window, he's like, one, two.
Sheep. And they're all like walking by his door and he's looking through the peephole.
Waving.
One
waving.
Sheep, two sheep. So it does turn out pretty interesting because he says the other thing about the dream is that my brother and I had the same dream on the same night.
That is a really crazy dream to have.
A very specific dream, brothers.
A shared dream?
Oh, so it has to mean something. But then he also shared, since then, we've actually shared quite a few dreams. But this was the first. Oh,
wow.
You always remember your first.
Oh. Yes, your first shared dream experience. I mean, we do get a lot of shared dreams in that are like, you know, they were in a similar space, or we were both in an abandoned building, or there's like one small thing, but this is a very specific
sheep people dream to have together.
People, we've been telling you, Bessie, don't be a sheep people. Don't be a sheep person. Don't follow the crowd.
Don't do it.
Don't be a sheep.
Just say no.
Interesting. That was a good one, though. This is Carlo, and he's from Oakland, California.
O-Town.
He says, hey, all. Male, early 30s here.
Ooh.
Carlo. I love the name Carlo. Sexy name.
Carlo, are you single?
Oh, 30, Brooke. Okay, a little younger.
He's 30?
He said 30s. Early 30s. Go for it.
Okay. I can go for it.
I dreamt I snuck into a celebrity awards show quite rebelliously.
I like Carlo already. Sign me up.
I think it's a match.
Put a ring on it, baby. Right.
I snuck into celebrity seating. Although I'm a male and I identify as such, I was wearing a white glittered gown with a gold scarf that came down in a V-like shape. Very old-fashioned.
Oh, Carlo, I am so in love with you right now.
Where I was sitting, I was alone. Across from me, a woman who was older, named Eli, she was very polished and wearing the exact same thing as me.
Oh, no!
That is like, oh, no!
Walking into a party?
Like, Oscar De La Renta would not do that to anyone, you know?
No,
he would make sure the celebs are not wearing the same thing. But Carlo's also sneaking in, so we don't know where he got his gown.
He could have, you know, he could have made a dupe. He could have gotten on Canal Street. I don't know. He could have gotten anywhere.
So Eli, she was very polished, wearing the exact same gown, and she was receiving an award.
God bless.
She sat across from me as if it was an acceptance speech.
Oh.
I got very nervous because I was wearing the same thing as her. I left my gold scarf on the seat. Although I snuck in, no one complained. There were a lot of people in the other area, but the award part was mostly empty. Then I realized, I'm Eli. I'm the celebrity that was receiving the award. And perhaps I was looking in a mirror when I saw her. What a twist.
And Eli is not typically what you would consider like a feminine type of name.
Right.
And he identifies as male, but he's wearing a dress. Oh, this is so interestingly dynamic.
Yeah. However, I couldn't find my original seating. I kept asking the security guards, and they pointed at me and said, well, it's very easy. Just go up through where you originally came from. But I couldn't find it. I was never able to retrieve my scarf, and I felt very unsure of myself in the dream.
Wow.
I should have kept this one in the laundry.
I almost want to analyze this one.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm saying, I know it's catnaps, but it's like, what does that scarf mean to him? And why?
Don't even ask Taylor Swift about what leaving a scarf behind means. I mean, my God.
Is that so you can come back the next day?
No. That's about Jake Gyllenhaal taking her V card.
Oh.
And she left her scarf there, but her scarf is supposed to symbolize, you know.
Her V.
Her V, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah, and he just left it. Yeah.
Goddamn, Jake Gyllenhaal, be respectful.
Yeah. We've got a whole army of Swifties that have it out for you.
Yeah, but you're not going to beat the army of Swifties, sir, the many sirs. That was no disrespect, but I'm saying none of y'all are going to beat the Swifties.
But man, Carlo, I think that was a cool drink. And I want to see a sketch of this dress and the scarf.
I need to. I want fabric samples.
I want
a fashion board, a mood board. I want to see the shoes,
the runway,
the bag, the hair, the makeup, everything.
Yeah. I wonder, because if he looked like a now I'm just thinking too much. Did he look effeminate? Or was it him in a dress? Like when he, I don't know. Very curious.
I know. There's so much.
Carlo, write back. Let us know some more details.
Carlo, give us a little bit more because we want to know, are you feeling like maybe you want to be a woman, or are you feeling like you're comfortable already in your own skin?
Or maybe he's just in touch with his feminine
scarf?
Side.
Yeah.
Guys in scarves. Do you like a guy with a scarf, Brooke? Do you have a one way or the other on scarves in general?
Typically, I do not have a one way or the other. However,
I know there's always a however with you.
There are only, I feel, there is a special type of gentleman that can pull off a scarf and you're like, God damn, that looks sexy. But it not does. All, but not
what about
all men.
Ascots.
No, I don't want an ascot any day of the week.
So here, this is really crazy because we shot a wedding last year, and it's not like you see an ascot every day,
but
there were three men in ascots at this wedding.
That's three too many, Mindy.
At a wedding of maybe 60 people. Like, the percentages didn't, like, they must have planned it, of course.
The only thing worse would be a bolo tie.
You're not a fan of the bolos? I mean, you did live in Arizona for quite a long time. I thought maybe it'd grow on you.
Had a spit
take on that side. I see.
Are you a fan of bolo ties?
I have nothing wrong with bolos. Ascots, no. I think ascots, you're an ass. Ass is for ascots. But bolos, I feel not too bad about.
Okay, well, that's fair. I mean, they're around for a reason, right?
Bow ties?
I love bow ties.
Bow ties? Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Regular ties? Thumbs up. I like creative colors and patterns. Thumbs up. I just don't dig the bolo and the ascot. Sorry. Brooks, I'm not an Brooks ass no girl.
All right. Do you have another one for us?
I do. This is another really, really, really short one, but I wanted to share it because it's from Chris from Estes Park. And you know how much I love Estes Park, Colorado, because that's where the movie The Shining was filmed in the Stanley Hotel.
Okay.
This is not a scary dream, people, but I was like, Estes Park, you're on our list. I was in the shower and there was a bush or tree coming out of the drain. I pulled it out and there was a huge hole underneath and I fell down the hole.
Oh, no.
I ended up in some kind of pool and I couldn't get out of the water. And then I woke up.
Oh.
So again, it's a short dream, but like, could you imagine, like, I'm just taking a shower
don't pull on shower trees.
Why? Yeah, Mindy, right. Bushes. Don't pull on shower trees.
Very, very
simple
solution.
Did we not teach you anything? But, you know, then to be pulled down this giant hole into some body of water you don't even know. I'd like to know some information before I'm pulled down a drain.
No.
I don't like it. Sorry, Chris. I don't like it.
She don't like it. All right. Next, I have Zoe, and she is from Travis City, Michigan.
Zoe.
I'm recently engaged, and last night, in my dream, I was trying to escape from a flooded building.
Oh,
did the tree get stuck in the shower? And all of a sudden, there was a lot of chaos?
Are we back to the tree or bush in the shower?
I mean, when it plugs the drain, it can cause a flood.
Like, your children have the most beautiful hair, and not to mention you do as well. I can't imagine what kind of trees and bushes you pull out of your drains.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, no.
It could form a forest, I bet.
You could. It could be a forest of hair trees. Zoe says, so escaping a flooded building. While I was grabbing my valuables that I didn't want to lose in the flood, my engagement ring started to fall apart while I was wearing it.
No, I don't like this.
I then started to grab all the broken pieces of my ring and started to collect them into a container so I could fix the ring later.
Good girl.
But every piece I touched began to turn to dust.
Oh, Zoe!
I've tried to research what this could mean, but barely found anything at all. So what could this mean? You know what?
Because I mean, the ring is the ultimate symbol of unity because it never ends, right? That's the whole point of a wedding ring or an engagement ring. The whole point is forever.
Yeah. No, I mean, here's the thing. If you're feeling any sort of disruption leading up to your wedding, like if you're feeling something in your gut, don't do it. I mean, that is the ultimate gut check right there.
It is a gut check. But the hardest thing...
Or delay it. It's fine. But like...
I was going to say, delay it at least. Because you know what? Everyone goes through cold feet. So yes, there is a fine line between
I disagree with that. I never felt cold feet marrying Mark. My first husband, yeah, I like cried every day leading up to the wedding. Mark, no second thoughts whatsoever for me.
Why can't you find me one of these, Mindy?
I'm trying, Brooke. Carlos.
God, it is Carlos. Carlos, reach out, please.
Wink. She just gave a big wink.
don't. And
I'll let you know that she's gonna raid your closet if you've got gowns in it.
Yes, so. And
hopefully you're the same
better
size
be prepared to share. Just saying. I'm cool if you want to dress up, but we're sharing.
All right, Brooke. That brings us to just a quick thank you to everyone who submitted their dreams.
Absolutely. Elena, craziness, 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 but you warned us ahead of time, so thank you for that dream. I'm still thinking a lot about it. I still have to sit on this one a little bit. But also, we had some wild, wild, fun catnaps. So thank you to Elena for sharing your dream and to everyone for sharing their catnaps. All right, besties, today it's going to be a little tough, but I want to take you through some of the worst disasters that were caused by sleep deprivation. And today we're talking about three of them. And just a content warning, it is graphic, it is hard, but you know, it's also important to listen and learn and teach moving forward things we can do to protect ourselves and the environment.
And the environment, absolutely.
Getting insufficient sleep, as we all know, is known to play a role in all kinds of automobile and industrial accidents. Most of these small-scale tragedies go unreported, but there have been a few incidents that are so horrific that they make international news.
Yeah.
And even alter the course of history. And they didn't say this, but I also want to say, alter the course of nature, because some of these things really, really fucked up nature.
Okay.
All right. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Chernobyl.
Oh, okay.
And most everyone knows what happened at Chernobyl. It was a nuclear reactor meltdown causing an unprecedented environmental and public health catastrophe.
Yeah, you think, no, radiation's great, Brooke. Everything's
radiation
fine.
Radiation makes
about?
You glow. You feel Ooh, good. Feel like no, tan. That's not the right kind of glow. The April 26th, and this is in 1986.
Okay, we were six.
We were babies. It's one of the most well-known and... is one of the most well-known industrial accidents in human history and is single-handedly responsible for changing the general population's perception of nuclear energy from positive to negative.
Absolutely.
Big deal. If you are youngins out there, our young besties, look it up. It is a very important part of history. And it's still fascinating to this day to see what remains and what remains in terms of spirits, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What many people aren't aware of is the fact that this accident is the result of sleep deprivation. The engineers who were on duty at the time of the explosion were on duty for 13 hours straight.
Okay.
The catastrophe officially began at 1:43 a.m., a time when the workers were likely feeling drowsy and were unable to think straight.
Yep.
Now, I get it.
It's a long time to be working.
I get it. There are definitely jobs that require you to stay awake for long periods of time. But there are also safety measures put in place because it is not healthy to stay awake.
That's always blows my mind that, like, firefighters... You know, cops.
24 hours
doctors,
on, 24 hours off, or whatever.
That is, it's not natural. And so, and
it's
then
not.
one of those jobs are so critical to like other people's lives. Why does this happen? Can't we have 8-hour days for doctors? Why do they have to be 12s? Like, why?
And also, I'm learning more about this as the both of us watch ER. Mm-hmm. Again, mm-hmm. It is. These are important jobs, people. And yes, it's important to have the best people there, but are you at your best sleeping?
Nope. We don't know. Okay. We don't know.
So sleep deprivation directly affects your ability to make decisions, meaning that you'll make mistakes that you wouldn't make when you were well rested. Mm-hmm. In this case, sleep deprivation led to one of the worst accidents in history. When workers failed to heed the warning signs, a power surge led to an explosion that blew the top of the reactor and led to a meltdown that killed undetermined number of innocent people. Yeah. Undetermined.
Oh, right. Because it's not just like when the accident happens. It's the long-term
there's
effects of
after
radiation.
Effects. You don't even know. Like, total. Yeah, you got it. 24 years later, Chernobyl still stands as the most prominent example of the consequences of sleep deprivation. If the workers were well-rested and working at the beginning of their shift, this accident may have never occurred. Unfortunately, we can't turn back the clock, so we'll never know for sure, but it's reasonable to assume that the lack of sleep played a major role.
Did you ever see there was a documentary on it? I think it was Netflix on Chernobyl.
What's it called?
I think it's called Chernobyl.
not seen it. Oh,
no, Mark and I watched it. It was a few years ago. I think it probably came out 2019, maybe. I'm trying to think if we watched during the pandemic, but it was one of those, it was just really interesting to watch. It was obviously the sleep deprivation played a role in it, but it was so much, you know.
So much more.
So much red tape and things that also, it was like a string of events that caused it to happen. Not only did it talk about kind of that day and everyone that was there from what they know, right? Because they don't live to talk about it, but the long-term effects of what happened. I'll post a link in the show notes, Bessie, if you're interested in learning more. It was really, really well done.
Chernobyl is interesting in and of itself, regardless if you watch a documentary or not, but I encourage you to learn more about it because, like we said from the start, it was kind of the first turn where we're like, hey, this is kind of dangerous.
Yeah, right? Who thought?
To use nuclear power, you know, like... And I still remember, a side note, when I was in England and I was on a train seeing like nuclear power like silos throughout the landscape. And it's like, it's everywhere except for the U.S., really.
Yeah. Well, there is a power plant near where we live, actually, and nuclear power. And the interesting thing is, so we shot a wedding for a couple who has a farm that's within, so there's a radius. So there's like certain radiuses of the plant that have certain protocols. They're within 8 miles of the plant. And so they have full body wear, you know, like protective wear they have to put on. Yeah. Like they have certain things they have to, you know, checking their water. And they have certain protocols. Like every year they have to come and like replace certain things that they gave them. It's incredible to see. So we asked them like, well, what does happen? Like, if something were to happen, and this is in Byron, Illinois, and he's like, it's not going to be good. He's like, eight miles? He's like, we have no chance.
Straight up.
Yeah, he's like, we know where we live. Nope.
No good.
We're just hoping it doesn't happen. Hopefully everyone got their good night's sleep there in Byron, Illinois.
Okay, I know this was a huge news story for us, Mindy. It happened in 1989. We were still pretty young.
9 years old.
But I do remember the Exxon Valdez oil spill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because this was brought into our school, like our learning, like science class.
Yes, it was brought into learning, science. It was brought into environmental care. It touched every aspect of us. And this was an oil spill. The Exxon Valdez, let me explain, was a huge oil tanker. And it's one of the most notorious shipping accidents in human history. When the Exxon Valdez collided with the Prince William Sound's Bligh Reef, so this tanker hits a reef, and this was March 24th, 1989, 10.8 million gallons of crude oil spilled into the waters a mile and a half off the coast of Alaska.
Yeah.
This was horrible, people.
I mean,
if Mindy's dream didn't upset me, I just remember everything back in the time.
You like, see all those, like, the animals. Yeah, I mean, little, you do. I mean, there was, ducks, like, pictures that'll live in our, yes,
ducks,
our brains,
birds,
forever.
All these animals, sea life, plant life, just covered with oil. No. It was horrific. So Captain Joseph Hazelwood was not at the controls of the ship on that fateful day.
Okay.
Rumors circulated saying that Hazelwood was heavily intoxicated after drinking excessive amounts of alcohol. But he was cleared of those allegations during a 1990 trial after witnesses testified that he was sober that night. But perhaps we will never know the exact reason why Captain Hazelwood wasn't at the controls that night. For better or worse, third mate Gregory Cousins controlled the ship that day.
He's a third mate?
Third. Like, where's like the second
first.
Mate?
Where's the first?
Is there a first the mate? Isn't there a first,
third's
second,
like,
third?
I think it goes in order like that, yeah.
Why
yeah.
are we going down to Cousins here?
He's just
anyway.
Like the janitor is like driving the boat.
He's like sweeping the deck.
Fun. I'll move
Cousins
this little wheel.
Had only slept 6 hours in the last 2 days.
Yeah, that's not good.
Preceding the accident. As the Exxon Valdez approached the reef, Cousins failed to properly maneuver the ship and it crashed, spilling the crude into the ocean in the second worst oil spill in human history.
Mm-hmm.
A contemporary news report stated that the crew had just put in a grueling 22-hour shift.
Oh, fuck that.
Before departing Alaska.
Fuck that. Yeah. I don't want any of those jobs. That
I
made
don't,
me work 22 hours.
And that third mate should not have been legally allowed to control the ship because of sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
Yes. The main point is the timing of the accident was consistent with a sleep-related or fatigue-related error.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read this really fast, Mindy. Don't ask me questions. The disaster killed up to 250,000 seabirds, 2,800 sea turtles, 12 river otters, 300 harbor seals, 247
Holy
bald eagles, 22 orcas, and countless salmon and herring. All of that environmental destruction could have been avoided if the crew of the ship took their sleep seriously. Sorry, I had to read through
that. No, I understand
quickly.
Why you had to read it. That's a lot of numbers. That's a very, that's...
It's sad.
Ecologically, very sad,
It's very, 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 very sad. I feel like you maybe have mentioned this one before, but let's go through it in a little bit more detail.
Yeah.
The Space Shuttle Challenger disaster.
Yeah, no, I didn't cover this one yet. It's definitely on my list of a deep dive, but
these are definitely not deep dives. And let us know, Bestie, if you would like us to go into deep dives any further on any of these, because we can. There's a lot of information. Or if you have a story that we might not even know about, we would love to dig in there a little deeper. But on a cool winter day in 1986.
We were six again. Well, 86 was a bad year then, huh?
It was a bad year.
Because that was also Chernobyl and this in the same year.
Yeah, those are two bad things. Real bad.
No one was sleeping in 86. What are you doing? What are you doing all night? What do you
get some rest, you fools? Sorry.
You doing the just partying all night? Like what? You're not Top Gun.
No.
Like just
no, you're not tough stuff. Come on. You're a normal human. Get some rest. Do your job. I mean, astronauts are a little different, but let's get into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so as I was saying, on a cool winter day in 1986. Millions of Americans turned in to watch a live TV broadcast of the Challenger space shuttle.
Now, were you watching this at St. Joe's?
I was not.
No?
Did you watch it at Holy Ghost?
Yep, it was on our TV. Like I was in kindergarten.
Oh, if I was in kindergarten, I was at Irving.
Oh, okay.
But I do not remember any footage.
I do
I don't remember watching it live.
They had like the TV they pushed it in a cart.
Wow, the AV team had it going on, huh?
Yeah, I think there was like a couple, like all the classes, because like we were all doing like, you know, little science projects on it, right? Like, oh, here, like there's a first teacher in space. It was a big deal.
As horrific and amazing as this journey would have been for this teacher and the astronauts involved. Yes. I mean, can you imagine? Everyone that gets to go to space has an amazing experience. So as a public viewing audience, launches of this type weren't typically TV fare, but the Challenger was carrying a rather unique passenger.
Yep.
And Mindy had already mentioned it was a school teacher. And that was the first teacher in space, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine the stories?
I wanted to be an astronaut.
Mindy, really, you wanted to be a lot of things.
I know, but astronaut was up
we
there.
We all wanted to be a lot of things. Cowboys and astronauts and vets and meteorologists and drag queens and all of the most glorious careers out there. So on the day of the launch, January 28th, everything seemed to go according to plan. But tragedy struck when the Challenger disintegrated 73 seconds.
Yeah, it was
we're really talking quick. About less than a minute and a half, people, into its flight, killing all seven crew members aboard, in addition to our school teacher. The crew consisted of five NASA astronauts and a payload specialist. Mm-hmm. So the vehicle disintegrated over the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Cape Canaveral, Florida, at 11:39 a.m. Eastern Time. The spacecraft began to disintegrate after a joint in the right solid rocket booster failed during liftoff. It turns out that the O-ring seals used in the joint weren't designed to handle the unusually cold conditions on that morning in January. Oh, it just makes me so sad to think that this could have just been
a weather issue.
Like, it was just too cold.
Yeah, and you think about, the millions of pieces that put together a rocket ship, and one fails.
One fails,
and that was enough to bring the whole
thing
down.
And this was the one that did it, with the first teacher in space.
Yeah.
This leak led to structural failure, and the external fuel tank and the aerodynamic forces broke up the orbiter.
Yeah.
The shuttle had no escape system, and it's believed that several of the crew survived the initial breakup.
That's not good.
This is something I've never heard, and this was hard for me to read. I figured it was instantaneous, horrific, but...
No, you'd think, but no, if you were aware of, that's the thing that
and you're like
scares me in any story.
Mid-air, you're like mid-air, oh God. The force of the impact, however, on the ocean... when it drop.
Oh, right.
Was powerful enough to kill the survivors. The crew cabin was found on March 7th with the bodies of the astronauts who are let's give a little content warning here because it is a little graphic. The crew cabin was found on March 7th with the bodies of the astronauts who were in a semi-liquefied state that bore little resemblance to anything living.
Sure, yeah.
James Simpson reported that he found a helmet with ears and a scalp inside.
Oh, babe.
The infamous disaster led a 32-month pause on the shuttle program and formation of the Rogers Commission to investigate the cause of the fatal accident.
I'm going to guess it has something to do with sleep.
I'm guessing too, Mindy.
I think that's why it's in the segment. Yeah, okay.
The commission determined that cultural and mechanical processes caused the disaster, but one thing that many people missed was that sleep deprivation played a massive role in the tragic incident.
Yeah.
Navy Captain Rick Davenport, quoted by William C. Dement in the book The Promise of Sleep, said the following.
Well, we've mentioned his name at least 10 times in this podcast. He touches every sleep story, it seems.
He knows it all, man.
Mr.
He's
Dement.
He's like the expert.
Hashtag Mr. Dement, come on our show.
Mr. Dement. So I just want to end this segment with the quote from the book, but not well known at all is the fact that the human factors subcommittee attributed the error to the severe sleep deprivation of the NASA managers. This conclusion was only included in the committee's final report, which only noted that top managers in such situations are generally the ones who sacrifice the most sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. You have the most pressure on you. It makes sense.
It makes total sense. But holy go-goly, Mindy, such sad things.
Awful. But I mean, also true. And we've talked about this 100 times. And if there's anything you take away from this podcast, bestie, is do not do stuff when you're tired. Like, don't drive a car. Don't operate a train.
Don't fly.
Don't navigate an ocean vessel. Don't. And it's so hard because it seems like you're almost, people feel like they're weak. Like, oh, you know, and everyone else is staying up all these hours. You know, if I'm the one who complains about it, you know, complain about it. Sleep is important.
They have these regulations on truckers, at least in the U.S. they do.
Yeah, it took a long time to get a lot of that.
It did take a long time, but it's like it needs to expand to other areas.
Yes. Humans are not meant to stay up for 48 hours. We're not.
Your mind starts to play tricks on you. Everything.
Reaction time is slower.
Everything starts to deteriorate at a certain point. And do you want the people you have in space relying on these people that are like basically walking zombies or ships, like you said, or
anything,
cars, any trucks, anything, you know? It's just
sad. I don't like it, and don't do it. Okay, wow, good one, Brooke. A lot of those, I mean, I've heard that some of it was due to sleep deprivation, but I never knew the extent of it. And that three really major
big
worldwide
ones.
Disasters. Three, were tied to that. So thanks for sharing.
And it just makes you question how many more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to happen again. Because they don't listen to this podcast and they don't take my warnings.
They don't, or they're not reported, you know, and they should all be listening to Remelations.
Hey, Brooke, I wanted to share with you. I know a couple weeks ago we asked for our besties to write us some reviews on their favorite podcast app, and I just want to share one from one of our besties, Gina, who posted...
Gina! I love Gina.
Her Apple podcast name is GinaR86, had this to say about our show. They make me laugh and feel like my real besties.
Oh.
5 stars. This show is new enough to be very intimate, but won't stay that way for long because they're being discovered by the world for their talent.
Gina.
We're hoping. Just keep telling your friends about us. We're hoping. They are both wonderful people who have such amazing bestie chemistry. Every week I laugh out loud at both the dream content and their commentary. Thanks, Gina.
Thank you so much, Gina. That means the world to us. It really does.
Brooke was crying. Yes.
I cried. Okay. She didn't have to tell on me, but I cried when I read that review. It's so sweet.
Yes. And if anyone else wants to make Brooke cry, please give us a 5-star rating and write your review in your favorite podcast app. We would love you forever. Make her ball.
Make me bawl, baby. But we just appreciate that you can pick up on our bestie energy because that's why we do this. We're having fun. We want you to have fun. And that's the point of all of this. So
it's my weekly therapy, babe. 129 sessions in.
And it's free.
And it's free. It's great.
Mindy takes my insurance.
It's just hugs. It's hugs and shimmies. I take it.
It's hugs and shimmies. It's the best insurance I've ever had. But it's only worked with one person.
It's a tax deductible. Because here's the thing. As we get into chit-chat, here's my chit-chat.
Oh, gosh.
Taxes are due.
Ugh.
Well, we're recording this on Saturday. Taxes are due on Monday. I put them off. I have a small business. It is not like I have a couple things to put in TurboTax. I have receipts and mileage and... shit, and it takes me a while, and I put it off,
sorry,
and I know
Mindy.
It's something I should do all year long, and every year I say, Mindy, we're gonna stay on top of it all year, and then come April 10th, I'm like, well, fuck, I should really get started. So, I've spent the last few days, week, on taxes, and it's not pretty, it never is, being a small business owner. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating. I mean, I understand the reason we have taxes. Yes, we have to... you know, help other Americans. You know, we pay for things that are important to our country, military, everything that comes along with it. But I find it unfair.
Need money.
I find it unfair that billionaires can pay less in taxes than I can. And so I just sit here with an angry look on my face and being like, how many thousands of dollars do I owe this year?
Oh. I feel, Mindy, I hear you. I'm
hating this week.
I'm not in the same boat as you because obviously you have a wonderful, wonderful business that does very well and great, but it's so tough to manage all that. Now, my brother also has a small business. It's obviously not on the level of you, but he did his taxes, like, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago when he called me. He's like, it is not worth having a small business.
And isn't. It is very frustrating.
I'm like, I know, it's really tough because he has to pay. And it's like, he makes no money anyway, but it's like, just having that small business, it's like, people, support your small business.
Yes, please. Absolutely. Do it because.
Please.
And then we're going to pay like 30% tax and however you support us. But it's great.
Oh my God.
But no, so that's. So I will be finishing that up. And we have no kids this weekend. So it's kind of just. Today's going to be a date night after I get off here. So we're going to put the tax aside for tonight, not worry about it. Go out, have some good dinner.
You said tax, relax. Not sex aside, right?
Yeah, oh, no, the sex will happen. Put the tax aside and then just switch a couple letters into that. But
and don't forget about...
Naked time.
Naked time. Thank you.
The other thing
I
wanted...
Hey, single besties out there. Is this a normal thing or is this just a Brooke thing? But don't you want your naked time? Or even not singles. When you're home alone... And it's not a sexual thing. It's just kind of like a liberating thing. Like, yeah, I'm going to fucking walk around and I don't care.
Your cats feels are good. Like, that's fine.
Feels great. So let us know if you have naked time, too.
Yeah. Let's switch from a subject to that subject to kids. Weird transition, but here I go. The other thing I wanted to mention is, this week, so my twins are seniors in high school. They have, you know, just a short month left before they graduate.
I cannot believe
it. It's starting to get to that emotional part where I'm like, a lot of things are coming up. Mindy. A lot of lasts. And so we had senior night. So I don't know, Bestie, if you did this in your high school, but where the parents get to walk their senior across, especially if they're athletes. They do it sometimes for like band and theater, but you walk across, their name gets announced, and they get recognition for their senior. So it was really hard when I did the oldest twin's soccer senior night this week, because some of these moms, she's played soccer with some of these for 10 years, like since she's been 8 years old. So I guess, 10 years. And these are moms that I sit with for in the rain and in the wind and in the sun and through wins
You've
and through
been
losses
through
and injuries.
It. You've been and through I'm, it.
And I'm almost feeling a loss of these moms because I'm like, you know, when are we going to hang out now that our kids are graduating?
Mindy, so we kinda, you make that happen.
I will. Yeah, I know.
You make that happen. You're the one that can do it.
That's true. So we did like a little after party at a game on their senior night. And so I got a picture taken with all these moms. And it was just kind of one of those moments where I'm like, you know, it's a different part of my life I'm moving into. And
new chapter,
I still have one in high school, but it's
like, it's unreal. You're going to have
an empty nester at 40. Well,
yeah, at 45.
A lot of emotions this week, but good, you know, it's good though. I know. All right, Bestie, that wraps up, before we start crying, that wraps up another episode. But before we go, before Brooke starts dabbing her tears, we need you to do us one favor, and that's to tell your best friend about the show. Tell that bestie that kids are graduating from high school and they just need a hug and a bottle of wine. You can tell your bestie who got a new job and is struggling to learn it but loves it so much. You can tell that food worker outside the hospital serving grandma meat about the podcast. I had to throw something in there that was a little less serious. Just tell them I want it well done with pickles and relish and onion and some chips
Mindy,
on the side. But
pickle, relish, onions, and chips on the side. Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're going with.
And that's your grandma burger.
A little
diet.
We need a little mustard, a little ketchup. But Bestie, that's how we grow, is by you just telling one person about the show. And if you do that, that helps us just grow, our numbers grow, and that keeps us coming back each and every week just by telling one person. Thanks, bestie.
Until next week, I hope you have lovely weather where you can cook out, and hopefully it's not grandma burgers that you're cooking up. And
sweet dreams,
bitches.
Oh, it's disturbing.
It's disturbing.
But if she died of natural causes, I mean,
she did.